PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome everyone to episode number 7 of Off Course. My name is Dan Edwards. You can find me on Twitter at CanadanGolf. And with me, as always, is my good friend Rob Miller, aka Rob Miller Time. You know him by his many intriguing posts on social media, as well as the Wrong Answers Only Name the Pro, which is a daily occurrence, which I adore. Robert, welcome back to episode 7. We are a couple days removed from our epic battle with Golf Unfiltered.
We are a lucky episode number 7 kicking it off. It's great to for us to be back, not canceled. I think we're pretty safe at this point. if we didn't get canceled after the Golf Unfiltered visit, then I think we're okay.
The only thing I'm worried about is he now wants to come on our show, which is great, but I think his goal is to just continue to kind of drive home that little wedge that doesn't exist between us.
Yeah, he was pretty good at that. I gotta give Adam credit. It was a lot of fun though. And actually, one of the coolest comments in the thread was if we start a food only podcast, then we should call it like Range Hood Days or something like that. Range Top Days. That's it. Range Top Days.
Range Top Days. Or yeah, that's not good. Off Course, the 5 course off course. And no, I would be an awful person for a food podcast. So hopefully people continue to enjoy the golf content we put out. And one thing I didn't mention, you can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, Off Course THP, if you don't already. We have updates every time we provide a new show, which is every Friday. But yeah, Rob, we have a couple of interesting topics this week. And I want to lead us in because I have a story, a pretty interesting story from one of my buddies. You ready for it?
Yeah, I am ready.
Okay. So this is a friend who plays golf casually, but loves the game, has 2 kids at home, doesn't digest it the way that we might, as it were. But so he sends me a message and he goes, dude, this is a text message, old college buddy. And I'm like, uh-oh, something's going on. It has to be golf related. So he sends me a picture and it's his old burner super fast driver snapped in half. I said, man, you must be swinging hard. He said, yeah, the only problem is my bag fell and it broke.
It fell. So Sunday bag?
Yeah, not a Sunday bag. Probably one of those things where you forget to strap it onto the cart, drive away, and the bag.
By the way, that is awesome.
The cart goes, the bag stays.
It's fantastic to do that to your friends. Except so, for instance.
So we're doing like a little driver fitting through text message. And his goal is consistency. It's not a big deal. And then he makes mention of something that I almost completely forgot about. Even though right now there's still discussion around it. He said, every driver I've tried this driver, I've tried that driver, some of the new TaylorMades. He goes, they're all just so short. And I thought about it, and he's right. He's been conditioned as a burner super fast guy to play at 46.5 inches.
46 and a half.
That's long.
It's almost 2 meters to our Canada friends.
Okay. can you remember the last time you swung a driver that was set up more than 46 inches?
No. As a matter of fact, first of all, that burner super fast, I mean, how old is that? What is that, from 2008 or something? Or
I don't think 2008. It was, I thought it was post R9 days. So it's a turn of the decade kind of thing, but right, it's
maybe 2010 kind of thing.
It's well over 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah. So that was probably a, 300cc club head. It was not big. It was very elongated from face to rear. And I remember I played one of those for a while. And you could hit the hell out of a ball when you caught it right. But it was so tough because it was so long. I mean, it was really just a really long shafted fairway wood. That's what it seemed like. So I don't think it's too bad that that it broke for him. It's time to, you know, golf's not going back in that super fast direction in that way. But I've seen it where people got, I know someone that had a bad fitting and they were playing like a Ping G20 back in the day with, I think it was 46 3/4. And when he was getting fit for an SLDR and he could not swing any of the clubs. They had no shafts that were long enough to make him, he adjusted to that awkwardness of using that long shaft. So they literally just gave up. They said, we'll figure it out later, but we've been in here for a half hour.
So I misspoke a little bit. It's the 2.0. It's the Whitehead. Came out in 2011.
Oh, okay.
I am 100% looking up stats now. It was a 400 cc head volume and definitively length, or definitively 46.5 inches long playing.
That's insane.
Set the stage. Because he sent me the picture. I was like, oh man, I remember that white driver head. I remember using was that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to try and keep it white.
Yeah, I mean, Magic Erasers are, normally you don't want to use that on your paint, but with that matte finish, you can do it.
Right.
Clubs, those are the best.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, for those who are listening in, how much concern you have over your driver length. Now, Rob, I'm a shaft guy, or I've been a shaft guy for some time. I like tinkering. I like the idea of being able to have one head and a whole bunch of different looks. So, I mean, just in my perspective here in the what I like to call the command center, I can see 6 or 7 shafts sticking out of a staff bag, just waiting to go back in. And I play them all right around 45, maybe 45 1/4. So I'm kind of in tune. I want to know, how focused have you been, or are you, on how long you play your driver? And does it change head to head?
Well, I have tried, I usually try to go straight 45. That's it. Now, there was a Callaway video podcast that Josh had on THP with a couple of guys from Cali, and they were talking about tour measurements. Believe it or not, you know, people were asking about drivers and the perception that tour plays it, you know, a full inch, maybe inch and a half shorter than us. But even their measurements aren't the same from van to van, so you really don't know. So whether it's mine's 45, I don't know. It depends who's measuring it, depends who built it. Typically mine are just, you know, the order is placed. I don't have a club maker that'll go and necessarily do it, but I always just say 45. If you want to cut it down, you can, but you know, things get a little wonky with swing weight and when you take off the static weight there. So I just try to stay 45. I have gone through experiments because I have a TaylorMade SLDR Mini, the tour version. And that is a 260 cc's, if I remember. Now it has a long hosel, so you could adjust the lie angle easily and things like that. So it's 10.5 degree. And I swear that on good days, that goes as long as my driver, which is kind of ridiculous because it's only about, it's about 2 inches shorter, you know, the shaft length. So I make better contact.
It's also one of the most forgiving clubs to ever be created, right?
I love it. I have a backup head and actually a 16 degree head because I was closing them out for like $60 a few years ago. So they'll get in the rotation eventually when like golf shops open up and I can actually shaft them. But so I did try experiments to say, all right, well, what if I shaft up my driver with, what if I go to, you know, 43 inches? Maybe I'll hit the center more. And it never worked. It just never worked. It's totally messed me up. So maybe it's similar. This guy is 46.5, trying to go to 44.5, 45. He can't do it the same way as a traditional size driver head. Kind of makes no sense, right? You think you would hit it more solid each time, but it's just for whatever reason isn't the case.
I think it's one of those conditioning things. And we settled on a head that I thought would work pretty well for him. Sight unseen, that's pretty much always how he's going to operate. But I think it's one of those deals where once you get it out there, you play a couple rounds with it, the distance, the length of the head will kind of melt away, I think. And And I actually went the other way, Rob, this year, and I'm surprised I did, and I'm surprised I stuck with it. I have the Cobra Speed Zone driver in the bag, and it's actually the tour length, which is, I think, 44 and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Still not totally sold on the idea of going that short, but it's been an interesting experience. I'm definitely glad I did it. Have you tried altering your head weight outside of your length just to measure that up? Or,
well, I have a tour length from last year.
Okay.
And I tried it, it's virtually the same shaft that is in my gamer, and it's just not as good. It just doesn't go as far. I don't hit it as well. So I don't know what it is. It is a different head than, you know, I'm talking about the Cobra head versus the TS3, which has been my gamer for almost 2 years now. I haven't had any luck replacing it, but you know, we're doing video right here as well. And you see, I have a couple Sims back there that I want to try. It's just that they just open ranges. So I got to get my butt out there, and I'm not going to just bring it to the course and
so,
go.
So maybe they have found the perfect length in that 45 inch range. And we're going to see a little bit of consistency from the companies moving forward rather than going long, crazy long for distance and crazy short for control. I think maybe that 45 and a quarter is the happy medium.
Yeah, the extra quarter inch, I don't know, does it do anything? It might.
Depends who you talk to.
I guess. I used to like to do that with irons because I was using some Cobras years ago and they were a little bit longer. I think they were a half inch longer. And I actually loved it, but I've never been fit into like a longer shaft in 6.61, you know? But when you get used to something and you have to go to something else, like I have old JDM irons, like these Tour Stage VIQs. I think they're 2006. They're awesome. They look so good. But the shaft is so short. Back in the day, I did not even realize it. But now I couldn't play it. No way.
So I'd be curious to hear what our listeners think. Obviously, we are going to have a thread open on the THP Forum community. If you're involved, or you want to get involved, please check us out there. We're also on social as well. So tell us what you play your driver at, or if you even know, and whether you think that's the perfect fit for you.
Yeah, I bet you most people know what they ordered.
Do you think so?
I don't know. They probably said, but it might be in the case of, yeah, whatever the guy said, you know, something like that. They didn't I don't think a lot of people specifically say how long.
Maybe most people listening to a golf podcast would know what they play their driver. I would bet. I'm going to give you a controversial take right now. Okay.
A little hot.
50% of golfers have no idea how long their driver is. 50% or more of golfers, all golfers have no idea how long their driver is. Yeah.
Interesting. They actually probably have no idea how long they hit it either. But
250 yards.
That's probably
it's either 250 or 275.
Yeah, everybody goes 250.
Yeah, always at least 250.
That's good. It's good to be consistent.
What do you think about that kind of hot take?
I mean, you said 50-50, so I don't know how I can give you that. I'm gonna see what you're saying.
I'm gonna bump it up there, 70%.
Oh, see, that's a hot take.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a hot take. So that would be 70% is a lot. Someone to say unequivocally that their driver is 45 inches or whatever. That's a high percentage of people who lack driver length awareness.
Now, I didn't say guess. I said no.
I know. That I was thinking about that.
Because they could say, oh, it's 45 for sure. For sure.
We can go a little off course there.
Have you heard any other hot takes lately that are of interest to you?
As a matter of fact, I have. We have someone on the forum, on the Hacker's Paradise forum, started a pretty interesting thread. Is basically, what's your controversial golf take? And there's some gems in there. I think it kind of went in line with some things that we were talking about last week that people love so much, like iron covers, of course. Everybody loves those. So I put together a little bit of a list
Did you say everyone loves iron covers? That is a hot take.
Yes, of course. So here's a couple of things. I'll give some shout outs to some of the members. So D-Nice, 26. We all are aware of him. Apply handicap ranges to tee boxes, which is interesting there. And also Lazy Chicken says, I'd love to find out how that username came about. Says that he was playing golf in Zurich, Switzerland, and you needed a golf certificate of proficiency to actually play, meaning you had to take some sort of standardized golf skills test or, you know, whatever, learn some basic skills and rules of golf in order to even play on a course and make a tee time.
To play a course?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that I consider those are kind of related. I can't see that happening in the United States. Everybody wants as many people out there as possible, but what about apply handicap ranges to tee boxes? I assume the starter is telling you where you can play from.
I've seen suggested handicaps on many scorecards. I don't know that I've ever heard of one like enforced, except for there's a course up in Columbus here in Ohio called North Star, and they have a set of tees that's like 7,500 yards, and you're required to be, I don't know if it's sub five or sub something handicap to be able to play them.
Yeah, you have to poke the ball a long way in order to play a 7,500 yard course well.
I didn't do it. I played 7,100 and didn't enjoy myself as much as I could have. Great course, by the way, up there.
Yeah, do you like three wood approaches?
7,500 yards. I mean, maybe in the mountains or in the desert where the ball bounces a lot.
Yeah, you need geographic help.
Another hot take. Maybe if it was a tour condition and the ball bounced 75 yards after it landed.
It bounced. Yeah, I know. It does roll like crazy. any fairway at Kapalua or something like that.
I've always liked, Rob, the scorecards that have a kind of a suggested handicap range. But once you get to a certain distance, I don't know if it really applies. Like, and I don't mean like further away, I mean closer. So you're at like 6,000 or less, I don't know what saying you have to be an X handicap to play here really applies anymore.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I think that makes sense as you move to the forward tees. Definitely everybody can reach. But so here's a little bit of a little off course here. So if you had the opportunity to play a tour venue and you could play from the pro tees, would you? So say they just completed the Players Championship. You know that's a major, by the way, right? Anyway, that
take city here. Holy
then let's go full hot take. So then you have a chance to play it like right after. Would you play it? Would you say, yeah, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna have my approach, like a pro would you normally hit a 7-iron approach on this hole? I'm going to have a 7-iron approach while playing this tee, but no, I'm all in. I'm going way to the back and I'm going to see what they do and experience that kind of pain.
You think so? I think if it was a local course that I'd played before, I'd probably be down for that. But if it's my like one chance to get on that course and play it, I'll probably play it at a place that works for me. Not that I'd be afraid on any random hole. Say, I like that number from back there. It looks interesting. I'll go do that. You know, just freedom to do whatever you want. And you can still technically post the handicap if you do it right.
Yeah, well, I think the only time I remember doing that, I mean, when I played Sawgrass and it was, of course, the you know, on 17, you're not really stretching it. So it doesn't really matter. That's not the important one. But on one hole at Torrey, I believe it was South, I was playing with Luke Williams and David Neville of Callaway Golf. And we hit our normal drives. I forget what the hole was. It was a long hole, undulating down and then back up. We dropped back to the pro tees because they were going to play the Farmers soon, I think. And holy crap, man. We hit we call them a giggle ball, which is for shits and giggles. You know, you hit your real shot, but you want to sit, you want to experience, all right, what is it like from that tee? So we drove from there and boy, it was so far back, man. I can't even tell you. It was at least, it had to be 100-yard walk from tee to the other tee. It was amazing. So I'd hit a couple giggle balls, but I would stay on the tees that I should stay with.
Yeah. The real question, if you had Luke in the threesome or foursome, is were you using a mallet putter?
I was using a half mallet. Does that
mean? Oh, see, he was half your friend that day.
Well, he was half my friend. Is he big? He's a big mallet putter fan.
Yeah, he is. He believes all putters should be mallets.
I was using a Japan only Odyssey that day. It was
good, okay. Good at day. At least you're brand friendly.
I was on brand, baby.
There you go. So yeah, we need more of these THP or hot takes.
Yeah, we're so next hot take, which is not a surprise. This is from Turtle Rancher. We're staying with the animal usernames.
Yeah.
Ban ball retrievers.
That's an interesting one, man.
Ban.
It's yeah, that is an incredibly controversial take. Especially when you have the guys who are like full send. As soon as they get to a pond, they're in it to win it.
Oh yeah, they are definitely. It's like the duck game from the carnival. Yeah, they dig in.
Should there be like a 30 second cooldown? Like you're allowed to have a ball retriever, but you can only use it for 30 seconds per effort.
There should be like some sort of like mechanized timer on a ball.
Yeah. Right? It retracts.
I think so. And then it's like, if you use it over that, it's like flooding the engine. You know?
There we go. So this is a $1 million idea. Ball retrievers that have a 30 second timer and then a 10 minute cooldown before you can extend them again.
Yeah. Like maybe they're made out of some substance that starts to like droop in the water. Droop. You know what I mean? And you have to dry it out again in order to use it. I don't know. That's
the only problem is this isn't going to be something that people would buy for themselves. They'd be buying them for their friends and putting them in their stockings in lieu of coal.
It's the next thing. It's like a cardboard ball retriever as a joke for your friends. You know, it's like painted all silver and everything.
God, get us out of this comment, well, please.
I mean, you're talking $4 a ball. I can understand grabbing your own ball out of there, but as far as hunting, just don't hunt for other balls. I mean, guys, let's move on.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, speaking of moving on, here's a little bit longer one from Hamfist. We're moving into the food category.
Okay.
All the OB drop radius, stroke, and distance rules should be abandoned and one rule implemented. Everything is a lateral hazard. Place the ball, bend down, give yourself a nice lie within two club lengths where you went in and add a stroke. What do you think about that? You're Mr. Rules Committee.
Yeah. So
our Slugger White. So tell me, I want to know what you think about that.
So OB is kind of a tough one because OB is always going to be OB. The intent is not to hit there. And there have been some really positive rule modifications that have come out last year, I believe, prior to the addition of the World Handicap, that allow for not stroke and distance, but still punishment from a stroke standpoint, where you can take it to the point, go towards the fairway, and then you have your area of drop. So that's pretty fair. We also implemented a local rule, and this is one of the optional local rules they have, where you can take a one stroke penalty for a lost ball in a hazard area, which is to say you can mark heather as an example a hazard, so that, or a penalty area that I think that alleviates a lot of the problems that would be in play. I'm not so sure I want to mess with OB too much. I think OB is there for a reason, and you definitely want to be deterred from hitting into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some crappy OB out there. I mean, we all know it. You know, sometimes even on like when pros played what Marion, right? There's like OB, like, because that course is really not set up for a major anymore. Though I'm happy Justin Rose won. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I think it's not re-tee. It's you're allowed to drop, but you it's two strokes, correct? For OB, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So I bet you that is, aside from people improving their lie, because I see that all the time, like just regular on the course, I'm not talking OB. I think that is probably the most ignored rule in golf.
You think so?
I think so.
We just drop and move on?
I think people drop, take one stroke, and then move on.
Yeah.
I bet you it is.
And, as long as we're not in tournament play, I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? You're only punishing yourself by taking less strokes. So if that's your goal to not stress it, and the people you play with are aligned with that, and you don't really get into tournament play, who cares, man?
Yeah, I think with the new handicap rules, that's a positive out of it, is you're probably, that person's probably, you know, should be, is going to be marking, they're probably going to get a triple or something like that anyway. Mm-hmm. So only mark down double.
All right.
Record double. Anyway, next one.
Next one.
All right. This is AUWU 11. I'll do that one first. I'm in favor of increasing the allowable club limit. I think this is a pretty good one based on what we talked about last week. My take is, if a player is good enough to make the shot with a certain club, why limit his or her ability to do so? I'm not saying unlimited, but I don't think 16 clubs is unreasonable.
I presume this person is a chiropractor by trade and is hoping that people start ripping around the course carrying more than they need.
No, I don't know. It might be a click gear representative. I'm not sure.
Yeah, true. I don't know, man. I think kind of like the driver length thing. I think we are in our sweet spot at 14. I mean, do I care if someone takes 15 or 16? No, it's not my back.
No, I bet you every OEM is in favor of this rule.
Yeah, true.
Because then you could sell your set of irons with a hybrid along with it. So you got a 9-club set, typically type of thing. And then, hey, throw the A-wedge in there too, or whatever you want to call it. I don't necessarily mind that. It's going to screw up everybody with the 14 dividers.
Oh yeah, 14 ways.
Which is just, that's not my favorite anyway. I mean, that's the one thing no one mentioned in this thread, is dividers and golf bags. I think we could go on for 20 minutes about that.
Oh yeah, that's not...
So anyway.
That's not for this week.
I don't think that that's a problem having 16 clubs. I don't like the fact that someone might have 16 clubs when right now you're only allowed 14.
Yeah, that's fair. If they change the rule, it's not so bad. You got guys who are out there with two different drivers, one to hit high, one to hit low. You got two different 4-irons, one to hit high, one to hit low.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, I don't know.
I mean, you could have some sort of Franken club in there, you know, that's just all wacky, but you say, hey, for these two holes on my course, this is what I want to hit. I want to hit
the reintroduction to the 11 iron.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that, I don't know.
I need a 7.5. So I don't mind it. I think it's pretty cool. That would be all right. I would, like I said, every manufacturer out there should probably get on this right now. Because why not sell more clubs?
They're pushing it, yeah. There you go.
Mini drivers, we've done the 3-wood, it should be the best club in the bag. They've tried, you know, driving irons and things like that. Everything in order to create a new OEM product for the golfer over the last really like 10 years. Somebody wants to play a sure out wedge or something like that, right? They want to add a chipper. You know, why not just say, you know, if you expand the number of clubs that's available to an amateur, then boom, you've got more clubs to sell is good for golf.
I've also heard guys pondering carrying one club of the other direction, so like a 7-iron is left-handed, just in case.
It's like, you might want to go to the lesson tee.
I think that's how far we can confirm that 14 is probably just fine.
Yeah, that's tough. You can use a bullseye putter like Nota Begay.
That's kind of cool. What else you got for me, Rob?
Next one. No more rakes in bunkers. No more bunker maintenance. Let's make sand traps actual hazards again. This is from Army Golf.
My kind, innocent Canadian brother, Army Golf.
Oh, yeah.
Wants to be a savage and ruin anyone's day. No, Rob, I don't hit into that many bunkers, so I don't know if I'm for this or like, I don't want to watch my playing partners suffer as they try and worst part, last guy in the day, last golfer out there, some dude before you, it just entrenches his feet. And now your ball is like just deep in it. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's bad. But that's a little bit of a humble brag there with I don't hit into that many bunkers.
Oh, I hit into the wrong place all the time. It just typically isn't a bunker. I play away from trouble into other trouble.
Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe you need a shirt.
Hey, listen, man, I'm not the one talking about playing Sawgrass. So if my claim to fame is I don't hit into a lot of bunkers, I'm going to take that, Sawgrass.
Just follow Canada and around the course if you don't like sand.
Yeah.
No problem. So that is kind of like what we've been doing the last, month and a half?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, it's basically what you've gotten. I have tried to, you know, when I've been in traps, and I've been in plenty of bunkers, by the way. And let me tell you. So it's a hell of an experience. So I try, you know, when I'm out, then I try to smooth it over with my feet. You see from people being there earlier, not everybody has the same take on that. They just like people fixing ball marks on the green. They, you know, the bunkers are pretty wonky right now. There, so that's what we have. I don't know if I've noticed too much of a difference, but I would think that a Jack Nicklaus and Army Golf would get along very well.
Yeah, I think Army's trying to stress people out is what he's doing. Yeah.
There's no way that, I mean, that's not going to happen, but who knows when Rakes will be back, right?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I'm wondering when we're going to see an entirely different take on the Rake system, and it's going to be incorporated more into the carts that you see at some. I've been to a number of resort courses that have them on each individual cart has its own rake. So, you know, maybe that changes a bit. I don't think we see the rakes get removed from the game anytime soon, even though, like you said, Jackie would be pretty happy if that were to occur.
Yeah, nothing I like more than having to drag a rake with me. That's wonderful. That's a great idea.
What if the one side was like shaped like a golf club and it could be one of your 16?
All rakes should be lefties. Is that what you're saying?
Are there any more of these beauties for us?
we need the day trek people to come up with a rake tube, like they do the putter tube. From back in the day. I've got one more.
Okay.
This is from tequila for Cap. All right, Cap. Cap's having fun on the course.
Frank.
Johnny Miller was underrated as an announcer. Period.
Underrated.
Underrated.
Now, are we asking golfers or are we asking Johnny Miller?
Well, he is a golfer. But I don't, like, as you know, Johnny Miller is a golfer. Not all golfers are Johnny Miller. Johnny Miller would tell you that, by the way.
That didn't he shoot like a certain score a certain time or two? I don't remember.
You're all right once.
Yeah, that one score that he did that one time.
That one time.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I don't know, man. I've never been a guy who is bothered by commentating. The worst thing I do is I just shut it down. Like I just turn off the audio. Usually doesn't bother me enough to be ragging on someone unless it's just weird, you know, unless it just doesn't blend with the golf that's being played. I think there are lots of people out there that live or die by the quality of the commentating. Are you one of those guys?
I don't. I did notice, you know, there's a couple of times that maybe stand out, like, I thought Norman was kind of misplaced on Fox when they started getting the USGA stuff. That was, I think a lot of people thought that, but it depends. Does someone stumble over their words? Are they just not adding something like, oh, that was a tough one. You know, like that's it. Like you can't do that as a color commentator. So there's definitely pressure on them to talk. I think if you look at the two who were most controversial, right, there's Brandel, who's not doing that for a broadcast. He's doing it. He's kind of paid to come up with these controversial takes. And Johnny, the delivery is very different from those two.
The controversial takes. I thought you were going to say Golf Unfiltered was the second one.
Well, it was kind of like, I just gave everyone, that's just like a freebie. That's like the middle square in bingo, right? That just award that right there.
All right.
But you know, I think the delivery is different. I actually liked listening to Johnny Miller. That was, you know, what do we, when you compare it to what we have now, I thought he was interesting. You know, I thought it was interesting to listen to him. So in a way, I think that my announcing pet peeve on any show is when you try to create a fake debate and create some sort of hot take for the sake of saying a hot take, to be like, if you and I were doing that, that bothers the heck out of me. Like, I just can't stand it. And I think now we get a little bit of that with the color commentators. Whereas I think Johnny just believed what he wanted to, what he believed, and just told you, he's like, "Hey, I've been out there, folks. I shot 63 at Oakmont." And that was a choke job, you know, type of thing. So I guess it got on players' nerves, but as a watcher, I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, this is great. It's redefining what episode 8 is going to be for me from a content perspective.
Oh, is
really,
it?
Really just driving it home on you.
All right, let's do it, baby. So we're going right now. Welcome to episode 8.
Yeah. It's a nice segue into another conversation I wanted to have today, because while I didn't catch the match 2 in completion, I did see a lot of really, really entertaining stuff with Justin Thomas out there, especially him and Barkley going at each other. I believe you watched it. Am I correct?
I did watch it.
I watched pretty
much the whole thing.
It got me thinking about how valuable it is to have a guy like JT out there. Now, obviously, he's done a nice job as a commentator, and you know, he brought a lot to the broadcast. But I think also you have fans who are enjoying him because it's JT beyond other elements. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think the fact that it was JT alone, that really got people so excited to begin with, right? That was just like, it isn't your typical thing. And then on top of it, JT is, he did a good job. He walked out there with, he had so much equipment on him. I guarantee you that was 65% of his body weight. He was on course with. He was out with.
So I thought it was
great. You know, I thought the broadcast was pretty darn interesting.
So I enjoyed having him out there, and it made me wonder, is the tour not utilizing their players to the fullest extent? And I'll lay this out there. Every tournament that's played has X number of golfers who don't make the weekend. Now they're already in town. Maybe being a part of a broadcast would be curious to them. What would you say if they opened the door to sort of a sign-up sheet for players who don't make the cut to stick around for the weekend, and I don't know what benefit is to them or what the payout would be, but let them stick around for the weekend and do effectively essentially what Justin Thomas did at the match every week, get a new face, get a new take, and see if they can really generate some fan love.
You're talking about walking the course.
I don't know if I care what it is.
Or just go to a particular hole and maybe hop up in one of those, I don't know, crow's nests or something like that and talk.
Yeah, I would say probably walking the course purely because you don't want to eliminate the placement as for one of those guys who are pretty much locked in the booth. I don't know how it would look. I wanted to get your take to see what you thought about it.
So I think everybody would welcome that. How could you not, as a golf fan, like a pro who's just played that course, to come on board and do that? I think for a lot of them, it'll be tough. You'll get better, you'll get worse, but maybe there's a little bit of friendly competition in there, especially with the guys that JT hangs out with. You know, you would think that, oh, I'd love to do that one day.
Yeah, that's my thought as well, is you have guys that are out there and you know they want to have a good time with each other. You know that they're going to go and say, next time I miss the cut or whatever it is, not that they're rooting for that, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to make your efforts look terrible, kind of thing. There's always seems to be some good competitions going and growing. What about from a fan perspective?
How could you not be in favor of that? You know, from a fan perspective, you definitely would want it. It'll give you a little bit more insight into the personality of the player too. The biggest problem you're going to have is get players to actually want to do it, especially carry out that equipment after being pissed off because they missed the cut. Probably. The older guys would not be. They, you know, like, we've had this happen with, I know Faldo's done it with, you know, where it seemed like he was, you know, maybe missed the cut at something and you thought, oh, he was going to work the weekend, but he didn't make the cut. So he's back in the booth kind of thing. I think that's, and believe that's happened before, but there's a lot, but he's an experienced announcer. We're talking someone who can give like kind of like a fresh perspective.
Yes.
Like that as a fan.
So, and that's, you said, who wouldn't want to? My thought was, with how critical fans are, at least from what I read on the THP forums during our awesome coverage of these events, people want good commentary. And I'm not saying that in a blanket statement, but there are people out there who truly live and die by the quality of the commentary. So you're opening the door for potentially mediocre discussion during the day. Not everyone's going to be as good or as bad as the next guy. So for me, it's almost this curious opportunity to see what these guys are like, really get inside the minds of these dudes, even though it will be a little bit limited. You know, a lot of these guys make most of the cuts they play in, so you're not going to see some of them on any sort of regular basis. But man, I think it'd be so much fun, especially if they're out there heckling their boys in a way that, they can't hear it until after the broadcast, and then they go back and watch.
That'd be pretty sweet to see. Well, you've seen, I don't know if you caught the part where Phil Mickelson was explaining a shot where he was hitting a greenside shot and running it. Yeah, I believe that, you know, he was talking about the way the grass was, and you know, because it's darker here, he can hit it into that slope and let it trickle onto the green type of thing. That's the kind of stuff which people love. Now, that was a Phil take, which, going off course a little bit, could there be a better person to get in a booth and talk about? I think, I don't even know. I think he would be awesome in the future on commentary. I think it would be great to see. But that kind of stuff, to where he's explaining the shots, to where the casual fan doesn't think about that. Like, okay, there's the hole, there's the green. I want to try to make it close, you know?
Yeah.
Because that happens a lot. You're just trying to, you know, feel it out. There's a whole thought process that he went to. I would love to see that. And I think that's what you get with certain pros. Apparently people don't get that with Azinger and Faldo, because they are really get their Irish up, man. When you mention those two, it's amazing. I don't know why. Like you were saying, it doesn't bother me. I really don't harp on who's broadcasting that much. But apparently there's some pretty polarizing opinions about those guys.
Well, I'd love to hear, once again, anyone listening in who is active on social or is active on the THP community, I would love to hear your take on it. It was very enjoyable for me. And obviously the tone of the match is different than a traditional golf tournament. But, you know, who knows what sort of changes could benefit golf, because we're poised to be in a great place with what's going on in the world right now. Golf is one of those sports that should be leading the charge back into normalcy. So any change that improves the experience for fans, I think, is a good thing. And any change that helps fans become bigger fans of certain golfers is also a very good thing.
Yep. Grow the game, man. Could that be said anymore? I don't know. You know, golf participation is up, by the way, apparently. So, but it's
it's up at my course, I'll tell you that much. Good luck finding a tee time.
It was pretty crowded last weekend, but I've still gotten some time. So, I was going to play yesterday afternoon, and I decided to just do work around the house, which I'm kind of regretting now. But that's neither here nor there.
I was going to say, I got the afternoon off. I'm going golfing. I'm taking my kid. It's going to be great. And Rob, I think that might be episode 7 all wrapped up.
Yeah, you did a little hot take without knowing it with golfing as opposed to playing golf.
You know? Uh-oh. I'm going golfing. I'm going to play golf. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm not touching that one. We don't have another 20 minutes.
I'm surprised no one said that in the thread. You can say golfing, because if someone said to me, you don't say I'm guitaring.
But, playing guitar.
Yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
No. It depends. Is golf your hobby? Is golf your life?
Obviously, it's our lives.
There you go. Rob, thank you for hanging out with me today, as always. And again, please follow us on social, Off Course THP, on Twitter and Instagram. And one thing we didn't tell you guys, there's a prize pack to be won, sponsored by THP. An awesome THP prize pack that will be coming. I don't know how it's happening. I just do what I'm told.
Yeah,
that's not true either. But stay tuned on social. You'll find out how you can win a prize pack to really drive up the excitement of Off Course.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.